Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Royce Christian, I got the book, and they sent me Scripting the Life You Want, and I thought, okay, well, so what am I going to script right now? This had just hit when we were starting to see people going into self-isolation, lockdown, all the things, the pandemic stuff started hitting the U.S. I'm like, so I thought, well, you know, I'll just ask Royce, how do we script ourselves out of this?
There's a lot of things you can do, and I don't make any promises that I can't keep. In fact, in the very opening of the book and the introduction, I say, you know, and this book was written at the very end of 2018 or beginning of 2019, but I said in the introduction, thankfully, but I also really wanted to make sure this got out there in the book. You know, I don't say scripting can heal you of some terrible illness, go to the doctor. And that's right up there in the front. And thank goodness, looking at the times that we're in, that this wasn't one of those self-help or new age books that says that you can, you know, heal yourself right out of anything, especially with the coronavirus. So how do you script your way out of it? There's a lot of things that I think you could do to script your way out of any mental anguish. This is a great book for mental health and a really funny book and a fun book. We dive into a lot of paranormal science and really groundbreaking tech and what's coming up in the future. And there's a lot of tools that I teach and I talk about in this book that anybody could do at home. You don't need anything special. You can even play with a quantum computer using an app on your phone if you have it, a smartphone called the FatumBot. And that is one of the most fun things that you can possibly do. And you can do it while you're on lockdown. Just stay 6 feet apart from anybody else. the distances in your town. But, you know, I don't know if it's as much about scripting your way out of the coronavirus as it is using the tools that I teach to, you know, get yourself in a happier place mentally, but also, you know, scripting my technique and my version is very unique. I've used it my life, as I talk about the book, to manifest, you know, starring as being a lead guest star on Wizards of Waverly Place on Disney Channel with Selena Gomez. And I got my soulmate. I've got lots of money this way. I mean, it's such a weirdly powerful process that anyone can do. And it's just so much fun and it's so easy. And there's a lot of results. So I would look at it more for anybody out there listening, you know, as a book that you can read or you can buy on the Kindle or the ebook version of it or the audiobook. And you can, it's something to do that not only is fun, and I think there's a lot of really amazing, I'm still just so excited, I'm sure you can hear my voice, about the science and the crazy stuff that's coming out in the world of, you know, not just quantum mechanics, but there's a whole range of things I talk about. You know, you can learn about all these exciting things that are coming in the future, and you can play, and you can use it as a tool, like maybe we would have used board games 20 years ago or 50 years ago for a situation like this. This book is a very action-oriented book, but it's action at home or out in your yard or your neighborhood that you can do safely during this time. So do I think there's a way to search your way out of the coronavirus? Mentally, yes. And I think physically, inevitably, you know, it's going to be helpful. I know it's helpful for people. But I'm not going to promise anybody that if they script that the coronavirus has disappeared, that's going to happen tomorrow. I hope it does. But
okay, well, let me sure make a comparison. Let me make a comparison. Okay, you can sit home and play with a Ouija board, which I, you know, you're opening a lot of doors when you do that, or you can sit home and try manifesting and working this process and take your power back. Instead of giving it away, yeah. You're, and this is basically, you know, it's new thought. It's a combination of a lot of different different ideas, and the manifesting goes into it of you are putting every thought, every motion, every idea you have, you are programming yourself. So if you're going to program yourself to say, oh, I'm a victim, then that's what happens. And that's because you're expressing that and you're living that. But if you're programming yourself and saying, I need to think about my future because this too shall pass. And what can I do to upgrade my circumstances? Because basically we're looking at a reset right now all over the planet. It's a reset. And Mother Earth is going, whoa,
yes.
Where's this? This is air. My, oh, gosh, oxygen. Okay, well, that's a side note. But so there are other things that are happening while we're in this huge crisis moment that are saying, do we want to reset in a higher level, in a better position than we went into during lockdown? And I tell you what, we can. And so that's why your book, I think, is perfect timing. What I think is also an interesting coincidence, and maybe more than that, you have Dina Grayson, and you talked about her as being one of the people who was the discoverer of something that was very, very beneficial for people who were dealing with the Ebola crisis. So you want to bring her back into the equation? Because I thought we were talking off mic. And that's, I think, an amazing synchronicity with this timing of your book.
It really is. I there's 2 points quickly, just to touch on what you said before Dina there. Yeah, we can program our lives for the better or for the worse. And I believe it's in chapter 2 of the book, or chapter 3 rather, I talk about this, one of the cool things that I found in my, you know, years of research went into this book, was that there is so much science that sounds like you're reading the coolest, you know, spiritual textbook you've ever read. One of the things that has been discovered is, have you ever had, and I promise we're going to get to Dina, but have you ever had the experience, I'm sure many listeners have, where you hear or see the number 333 or 1111?
Right,
or maybe
sequentials.
Yeah, or you hear a word like Windsor or Queen Elizabeth or something maybe that's not always in your normal day-to-day life. And then you start seeing it everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that used to be called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. And it's because it occurs when basically that thing you just notice or experienced or been told about just seems to and appears to give you that feeling that it's everywhere, just pops up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what that actually is in the last 5 to 10 years, they've discovered, and I go into detail about this in the book and how you can use it in the reverse, basically, and that's a positive thing, is that there's something called the reticular activating system in our brains. And it is the coolest thing ever. It is basically your brain filter, and it has two jobs, and they're very important. It focuses on what we deem important, so our goals, our beliefs. If we wake up saying, oh, it's going to be the best day ever, our reticular activating system in our brain, it is now programmed because of what we've told it to do and look for by saying it's going to be a great day, to go out and point out all the amazing and good things and experiences around you that day. It works in the opposite, obviously, as well. If you say it's a bad day, it goes and pulls those out. That's number one. Number two, it focuses on our survival, which is, you know, what in the current moment will allow us to stay alive. But the greatest thing, and I give this tool in the book, and it's really easy and it's really simple, is we, and what I've discovered and what a lot of scientists have realized, is we have the ability to actually program our reticular activating system, this massive sounding scary word in our brain, to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's really easy because perception is one of the main things I talk about in the book. Not main, I'd say there's a lot of main things, but it's a fascinating discussion that we go into about how Donald Hoffman, a professor at University of California, Irvine, has discovered that evolution does not favor reality, which is a whole other discussion we can talk about in a bit. But
you just jumped off the deep end there.
You're so much fun, and we talked a lot off mic. I feel like your listeners are very smart, and if they're listening to this show, they love the deep end. So here we go.
Okay.
With the reticular activating system, let's say for me, I always used to lose my keys, and I have a Yeti mug. It's called Yeti, actually, which is funny because I know we get to talk about Bigfoot on here, but it's a brand of a reusable mug.
So yes.
I always have my drink in there, my water, and I lose my keys. I used to lose it all the time. So as I was teaching a workshop this past winter, I was talking about the reticular activating system, and I realized in this workshop with this very, very high power real estate agents in Beverly Hills, because I'm like the guy that they'll call in secretly, but they don't want to tell anybody about, you know, to come and get everybody kind of understanding how to manifest better numbers and bigger numbers or mm-hmm. better sales or just, so it was a great group. I realized when I got home that night that, oh my God, I'm teaching about this. I write about this in my book that was at the time, you know, not out, but I knew it was coming, and I could do the silliest thing, and I bet you it would work. And that is, I started to say out loud to my brain. It sounds a little funny. I'm not a big fan of talking out loud and sounding crazy, but if you do say it works, it's the point of this, but if you say out loud, let's say you lost your keys and you happen to walk in and place them on a table that you don't normally do, and you were absent-minded and just thinking about something else, it's 10 minutes later when you realize you need your keys. If you say out loud, brain, where are my keys? And then let it go. Within about 2 or 3 minutes, your reticular activating system, this is a real process in your brain, will direct your body. You will find it. I found in less than 5 minutes, whatever you've lost, because your brain still knows where it's a computer, and it took that code. It took that information, but it filtered it where you dropped your keys originally, because maybe you had something else on your mind, or maybe mm-hmm, you were thinking right. about whatever.
Right.
And your brain has so many things in basically storage areas that it keeps from you. Not because it's hurting you, but because you have either not told it to focus on it, which is like the 11-11, or it's not imperative for your survival. Real quick, and then we'll talk about Dina, ties her in. That real estate group that I talked to, and I did a great workshop with them. It was one of the, I had so much fun. And there was a new girl there who had just started, and one of her big, big, big goals was to get a listing worth $10 million. And this is the highest, one of the top real estate agencies and offices in the whole country. So they're big numbers. Mm-hmm. They play with everybody, the big, you know, actors and politicians and all those types. So yeah. I said, all right, listen, do these. I have three really simple tools. It takes about 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night. And they're all in the book, which I encourage everyone to go out there and read if any of this intrigues you. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, do the three tools and call me, because I knew she would get a client that would give her a listing, because she couldn't get a big listing. That was one of the goals of the company for her. So about 3 weeks later, she called me, so excited. Long story short, she had been doing her work every day, doing all the tools, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, and she was in a coffee shop. And she happened to notice outside, right next door, is a bookstore. And there was a sign outside for this very well-known guy, big entrepreneur she was a huge fan of. Can't say his name for the reason you'll soon know about in 1 minute. But he was doing a book signing, a talk. And she loved this guy. She watched him on TV all the time. So she was really excited, and she had her break. She went in, caught the last 5 minutes of his little talk, and went up to him afterwards, and, you know, they got to talking. Turns out he had a property. He wasn't from the area, but he owned, he's a pretty successful guy, a property worth $11 million. And guess who got the listing?
Uh-huh.
Our friend from the real estate office. Now, what she was so weirded out about, and what I love about my tools, because they're not as woo-woo as a lot of the other tools, and I love woo-woo, but these aren't woo-woo. These are very real and
yeah.
very easy
yeah.
to use. Her client, the $11 million man, said to her, you know, it's so weird, why didn't you come to my whole talk? And she goes, well, I didn't know what was happening. And he goes, well, there was a sign up. He lives very close by when he's in LA. He has a house close by. He doesn't live here permanently, but he lives right up the street from where this book signing was when he is here. He said, well, there's been a sign outside the bookshop for 3 weeks. And she was floored, because her brain had been filtering it out, because she was so focused on life and worried about not getting listings mm-hmm. and not telling her brain essentially what it is that she wanted, that she had walked by this sign that would have led her to this client many times, probably mm-hmm. 30 or 40 times, she told me, for weeks, if not longer. But it wasn't until she got into the habit of taking a minute a day to program her brain to look for opportunities, which were already in her environment, and her perception, she just wasn't perceiving it because she wasn't programming her brain to see it, she would have completely missed it. But because she took the time to do it, just a minute a day, her brain now, it's just like 11-11, it pulled an opportunity and therefore a giant awesome manifestation right into her life. So yes, it 10 program and decide right now in this reset what kind of lives we want to live. And we can also, there's a lot of big fun tools in there, but there's some little ones like that that can get people started and thinking outside of the box. So speaking of outside of the box, I am rambling, but I hope people, I hope I don't lose them.
No.
Touch on Dr. Vina Grayson. So like you mentioned, she, please look her up. Fabulous, incredibly brilliant person. She, I call her my sister from another mister. If you go on my Twitter, which is in reverse, so it's Christian Royce instead of Royce Christian. But if you go on my Twitter, you'll see us always bantering. But we've been friends for, gosh, a very long time, years and years. And I call her my sister from another mister, and I'm her brother from another mother. And we are really that close. But she is, I'm so humbled and just like, I always go, why are you friends with me? You're too brilliant. She invented and worked on one of the only, I believe, and don't quote me 100% if it's, I believe I'm right with the actual wording here, but cures for Ebola. I do know that she went to Obama with it in 2015, but she was on the team that worked on the Ebola crisis and helped to fix the Ebola crisis. She's worked an incredible developments in science and medicine. She is married to a wonderful guy, Alan Grayson, who is also a brilliant lawyer. He was a congressman for 8 years. Really smart people. But Dr. Grayson has worked on pandemics. This is her bread and butter. I also, and I mean bread and butter, not financially, but this is her real house. This is what she knows. And she breathes and lives this. This is her career. So she knew back in December, she knew, she told me that this was going to be as big of a deal as it is. And she was really out there sounding the alarm, not in a scary way, but just trying to let people know in January, February, she was going on every TV show that would have her. And, you know, she does incredible videos. I encourage anyone out there and everyone to look up Dr. Vina Grayson. She's really easy to find, but she has great YouTube videos. She's doing things almost daily just to help people feel better and give them some really easy tools and tips and some reality about the situation we're in. But anyway, she is brilliant. She worked on the Ebola cure. She's friggin' fantastic. And she is one of the people who endorsed my book.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really weird, like you said, and very serendipitous. Is obviously none of this was, none of the coronavirus was even a thought in anyone's mind when the endorsement, you know, books take about a year and a half. And the science was one of the most important things to me in this book, because the book does a little bit of a 180 in the best way possible, as you read, in the middle of the book, because the first five chapters out of 10, first five are about manifesting, and there's some really fun tools there in science, but chapter six onwards talks about some really out there and crazy technologies and sciences, and I tried to put together things in a very linear way to help people see this incredible new bridge between what I say science and spirituality is. And she gave me the nicest endorsement ever. I'm not going to repeat it, but having her on the back of the book, now she is, you know, actively working on educating and people on the coronavirus and trying to figure out how to fix it.
Yeah.
The whole situation.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you. Very. It's more. I don't think it's a coincidence. Just like I don't think anything is. Sometimes I do what I don't, because just the fact that I'm grateful that I put in there for people. Right in the introduction of the book to go see a doctor if they're sick, you know, it's just one of those things. I also, again, this book was written in November and December of 2018 with a few minor additions, maybe only 30 pages worth over the course of 2019 as I went through the editing process. But, you know, I also have the example my favorite chapter is chapter 9, which is about memetics and memes. And I use the example of toilet paper, which we don't have to talk about because everyone's talking about toilet paper right now. But
but it's got pictures. You've got pictures too, just in case people didn't know.
I do. Well, and it's funny because, you know, the book, the physical copies, you know, they were printed, you know, months ago. Obviously, the book just came out, but it's funny because, you know, the average person, most people are smart enough and they know just from life that books are not, you know, made overnight. You know, it's a process like a film or anything else. And, you know, I had a really, so funny, I had a great email yesterday. Someone contacted me from my website And they said, I am blown away, but I'm so confused. How did you know that there was going to be a toilet paper panic? And how did you know this? And, mm-hmm. and I explained, you know, it was just the example that I felt guided to put in there. Mm-hmm. It's a really funny example. And anybody out there who reads the book, I'll save the punchline for you. But it's based on science. And it was just something that I intuitively, I guess you can call it, felt would be pertinent for people to read about come 2020, and here we are.
Okay. I'm going to say that this isn't just your ordinary toilet paper. Okay, so if you are creative and at home and have time alone, you can experiment some of the things that are being done with this particular toilet paper, all right?
Yeah, it's special toilet paper. It definitely makes you think about where your thoughts are coming from in your head. I'll say that.
Yes.
When you look at the pictures, and it's not gross for anybody out there. It's absolutely for all ages, so don't worry. It's very clean toilet paper.
Okay. Royce, just a second, though. But the language, which I find fascinating, dealing with a pandemic right now, the language in his thought book or his book, Thought Contagion, Aaron Lynch. Okay, there's that one. Read a newspaper, catch a mind virus. The language in this book also mirrors our reality at the moment. So you didn't think
That's
ahead.
That's weird. But I didn't even think
yeah.
about that.
Okay.
I sound so silly.
Yeah.
I know it's my book, but you're right. Go on. I love this.
See, that's wow. what I think about this, is that there's a lot more going on than just, oh, I'm going to write a book and this will be a fabulous idea. And this is an idea whose time has really come. And this is important for anyone who wants to take back the power and realize that we are participating. This isn't happening to us. We're happening to it. And as we
yes.
shift and we start being proactive instead of reactive and put out some of the mind drama, you know, close out some of the, we can't do this. And this is, you know, all these really huge catastrophes that are being predicted, and go back into, well, what can I do in this moment at this time? And that's where I like chapter 8, because that's putting it all together. Okay. You still read the whole book, but chapter 8 lays out the details and the fine print, the daily want list, the belief list, the script, the nightly journal, all of those things. And that's where I think you really sum it up here and, you know, give people a template to work with.
Yes. Yeah. And I wish I could sit here and say, oh, yes, of course, I purposely added that. And I'm such a high and mighty author. I knew exactly what I was doing. But you're making points that not even I thought about. But, you know, that's part of the best thing about writing is it's so guided. You know, it's such a guided process as far as, you know, there's something otherworldly. And I don't talk about this that much. And every friend of mine who writes, and even my friends from my days of acting in TV, you know, there's sort of this whisper, and it's the fact, you know, you're in a state where you're receiving the universe and you're being guided. The timing of this book, I think, is great. And yes, mm-hmm. chapter 8 is awesome because people can put it all together, and anybody out there listening, you know, that's the greatest thing. The whole book can be summarized really in chapter 8. It's easy. I wanted this to be fun.
Yeah.
I wanted this to be easy, but I also wanted it to be educational. I wanted it to be something that people, you know, really learned from and really got a lot out of. But you mentioned something that I'd love to touch on, mm-hmm. which is time. And I don't know how much you remember about the I believe it's chapter 7, but there's some insane things happening right now with time. And the science out there, one of my favorite ones, is not just quantum mechanics and quantum physics, which you hear so much in New Age books and self-help books and thought books, but you have audiologists, people who study hearing, who have discovered that they can prove this much. They can prove that your brain right now knows the sentences that I'm going to say before my mind and me and my brain even know or have formulated the thought or know what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I talked about this pretty extensively, and I cite quite a few research papers and textbooks and chapters in other books that talk about this from scientists, which I am not one of, but you know, they are realizing very quickly that the future seems to be predicting the past. And that's a really weird thing, that the future is affecting the now. And that is really hard. It was hard for me to wrap my head around at first, but this idea of time. I had no idea. They didn't teach me this in school, but, you know, the agreed upon theory of time right now is something called the block time theory. I don't know what you thought about that, but when I started researching, and I it was very clear, and anybody out there, don't take my word for it. Go out and, you know, do some research, because the whole theory out there that all scientists believe on when they're or believe in when they're trying to understand and explain time is that we live in something called a block universe. I don't know if you want to go into it too much, but it's basically fascinating that the scientists who we listen to, and just everyone from Stephen Hawking to Neil deGrasse Tyson, I mean, whoever you want to fill in there, they have this incredible theory that the time that we understand it is essentially in, if you can imagine, a three-dimensional square. There's actually there's an image of this in the book. There's some back and forth arguments about it, but basically it's not just that all time is happening at once, but that it's already happened and it already didn't happen. And that's what's so interesting about what you touched on as far as us affecting what comes next.
Yeah.
In some ways, we've already done that.
Yes.
It means that, and there's a lot of tools, really easy things you can do that we talk about in the book. And I hope people out there read it and they find their own tools. Please email us, email me, you know, let me know. The book just came out, and I've gotten some incredible messages from people who are creating their own little tools to deal with the pandemic and deal with how their own mind works and things when it comes to what we're going through on lockdown. But, you know, when you really get into the time theory and all this stuff, it's not hard. You know, it sounds to some people like it might be not this very easy thing to understand, but I feel like one of the things that I hopefully accomplish for people is laying it out there in a way that not only, yeah, you can understand it, I know that, but also that you could start to understand it enough to play around with it and see how much you really are affecting your current reality. I mean, you talk a lot on this show, I know, from what I know of you from my own research and my, you know, first always like to look into where I'm going on the show. And we talked beforehand off mic, you know, you talked about a lot of paranormal things and UFOs and mm-hmm. all sorts of really fascinating stuff that I think we are getting closer and closer to understanding better and maybe getting some interesting new viewpoints because, and not just from our side of things, but from the scientific world too, because there is so much out there that we aren't perceiving. There's so much out there with time that we don't understand. The example I love to use, I put it in my book, it's Donald Hoffman, the professor I mentioned, he talks about perception, is if you think about our brain as a super quantum computer, then you have to think about what we see or what we think we see in our environment as the equivalent of a computer desktop. When you look at a file on your desktop or an icon for the internet, let's say, that's not really a file. That's not really a little compass for Safari on the internet. There's diodes and electrons and all sorts of crazy mechanics going on behind that, what we see on the computer desktop screen as a file. And in that file might be a really important questionnaire or a really important paper, but really it's a representation of zeros and ones, and that's how the computer interprets it. So it's easier to perceive and understand from the computer's end, and obviously from us, the human perspective. And if you think of your brain as that computer with all the zeros and ones and then all those amazing components, like I can't even understand them completely that go into the computer, and you think of our eyes as the projection that it is coming up with, the equivalent of a desktop, it gives you a lot of power because you realize it's all something that you can control with your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, but not just control, you can power back and you can have a lot of fun with it and you can really shift and change things in your life and you can understand weird paranormal things that people say are weird and paranormal. Maybe
yes.
It's not so weird. Yeah. Maybe it's just a question of perception. My dad had my dad is one of the most, you know, not buttoned up and stuff. He's a great guy, but you know, he was never as into anything paranormal or UFO as my grandparents and my mom and that side of the family was. But he had a crazy experience when he was 19, or I guess it was 19 years old, back in Philadelphia, that involved what he swears is a UFO, and mm-hmm. you know, if we want to go to that story, we can, because it's really interesting.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, and see, that's what I glommed on. In your book, I have to, of course, find something. Well, is there anything Bigfoot? Is there anything UFO, ghost? And guess what? Guess what? Yes, it comes up page 105. Okay. For you following along at home, page 105, turn there. All right. And it's because it's supposed to be basically thinking how all of this time slip stuff, because you also go on and play. I love the Matrix on Reddit. There's one, Things in the Matrix, and you've picked up
the Matrix, yeah.
Yes, and there's what, the Randonauts? Randonauts?
Randonauts, yes. I love them. That's the quantum computer app I was talking about in the beginning,
Yes. Okay. So these kinds of things, and I've experienced my own time slips. I've experienced the ET contact. I mean, I can get into all sorts of stuff and go off the deep end, but we're not doing that. So this stuff I know is real.
We can stay in the deep end. We can go deeper.
Well,
your listeners, I think they're pretty smart. They're listening to you. They're pretty open.
Well, this is stuff that our science doesn't have a way to quantify. And yet what I think is happening and what I see happening and what I have been hearing and picking up in my own little time stream is that there are more people saying, look, I saw a UFO. I had a ghost experience. There's paranormal stuff. And I think it's because instead of being lockstep the way we usually are, okay, 9 to 5, la, 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 everything goes in sync and is a sequence. It's all on schedule. It's all, and there's no deviation. Right now, there's a huge deviation and people are going, what the heck's going on? Did I see what I thought I saw? So there's an opening, a window for people to look at different things, and they're being exposed to things they wouldn't normally, like the woman who went to the store or went to that bookstore and said, he said, well, the sign's been out for 3 weeks, because she didn't deviate. Every day she did the same pattern, repeat, repeat, reset, repeat. Right now there's no repeat, so we're going, what's up? So there, okay, so that's where I'm going with that. How's that?
We're in timeless time in a way. It's really interesting and it's exciting to me, because there is a whole section of the book and it talks about what this incredible forum on Reddit. For those of you out there listening, if you don't know, Reddit is one of the coolest websites, I think, in the world. It's the equivalent of more of an old school internet message board, but you have millions of people from all over the planet who, you know, there's fan pages for whatever you like. If you like a TV show, or there's ones for recipes and cooking, and it's pretty much anything you can think of, there's a Reddit page for it. And with the Reddit page itself, it's like a forum where anybody can, you know, there's rules and there's moderators, but anyone can join. It's free, and you can tell your stories and give your recipes. Or in the case of the forum called Glitch in the Matrix, people write in their tales and their stories, real life stuff of things like the woman who I on page 105, like you just mentioned, lived into a house with her family. She was looking for a house, rather, and there was an adorable poodle next door. I'm paraphrasing the story here, but basically that was one of the reasons that the family chose to move into the house, because the neighbor had a poodle, and this family used to have a poodle. And cut to 3 months later, they finally meet this neighbor who had the poodle in the yard that made them choose this house. And they start saying, oh, what's the poodle's name? And we haven't seen it. And the lady, the neighbor, was just stunned. And she goes, my poodle died 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's no dog here. And that's a glitch. That's what people call a glitch, because something clearly with time happened. There's a lot of interesting Glitch in the Matrix examples that are real life stories that I talk about in the book. And you just made such an incredible point, because people are not on repeat right now. And it is either something that I think people listening, you know, like you can look at it as terrifying, or look at it like I do, as invigorating and exciting, you have the chance to explore what's around you. There's so much that is in your world already that is just amazing and incredible and paranormal and cool and not paranormal, but so cool. And we have this time right now that has been given to us. I'm not going to name names, because I'm very fortunate to have a lot of very, very well-known people who endorsed the book and then are printed in there. But one of them actually reached out last night, and they said to me, what's going on, Royce? What is happening? What is actually happening? And my feeling is to actually pass the question on you, because you just described, I want your opinion, because you just said it in one of the best ways I've heard it so far, which is
it's a reset, yes, but it's also like a pause where you can take the time to adjust things. It's almost as if you were rehearsing. This is just my background, but rehearsing a big play or a big show on Broadway, and it's not in front of an audience yet, or you take a break in the middle of the dress rehearsal and you readjust the set, you change the lines, and you get everything perfect because everything is it's able to be paused and played with and adjusted to make it so that when the play button gets pressed and you go back on stage, everything is how you want it.
From my perspective, intuitively, which I've been doing for a while, there was a warning. And the language I got was that it was going to reshape what we did. I've written about it. There's more to it. But so with that, and then my word is a reset. This is the fun stuff I get. My husband and I were out walking. We can't detour. We see three people coming forward. One is a single walker, and the other is a couple, and they have a black dog between them. And my husband, since we have two dogs, and they sometimes get excited, the little one gets a little toy as soon as he said, "Hey, the dog up there." "Yeah, I know, I see." Give the dog the toy. And then we get closer, and they stop in front of us, off to the side, about 10 feet away, you know, and then they're saying, "Oh, you know, your dogs are so well-behaved. We have three schnauzers, and they would never, you know, blah, blah, blah," and they go on. They can't take them on the walk. They're not walk-friendly. And I said to him, did you see something missing? And he said, "They didn't have a dog." Yeah, we both saw a black dog between them, walking and about the size of a Doberman or a lab. Okay, the black dog, and that's why I wrote about it, black dog intuition, or, you know, because what that means for me, and this is all different for people who have totem spirits, you know, animal guides, whatever, and intuition or time slip, you can go so many different directions, but that's mine. So I interpret it as a time. The black dog is usually a warning and a protection. But we have to do the right thing, and that's different for every single person. But right now, it's a big deal. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense, and it gave me chills because it's such a great, fantastic explanation, and it resonates with me. And also, on top of that, I'd like to add two things. Is I am a big believer in animals and totems. Mm-hmm. And when they come into my life, there's just a different quality. And if you're listening to me, never experienced it, or if you have, you'll know what we're talking about. But if you never have, you might now.
You'll pay attention. Yeah, you'll pay attention.
Yes, exactly. The reticular activating system is going to go right to work. And it's true, though. But there, I'm sure you know, too, like there was the added, I would say, message from the universe of pay attention with, "Hey, this dog was there and then it wasn't." You know, it wasn't there the whole time. Or, you know, that was an extra, "Hey, this is a totem, just in case." And the universe does that to me, too. It does it to a lot of people. When it's an animal message, it'll give you maybe an extra sign. But I always notice the quality. You know, birds, there's a lot of birds here in L.A. County where I live. And there's people don't usually realize just how mountainous and there's just so many forests and trees. And there's a lot of green here. And I live in an area right at the foothills of one of the big mountain ranges in L.A. And with lots of trees and birds and everything. But, you know, there's a regular bird that will fly by all the time. And I don't, you know, I know it's not a sign. But, you know, then you'll have something very interesting like I had just about a month ago that you reminded me of. And I'm so glad that you did because I didn't write it down. And I write everything down.
Yes.
Very late. And two very odd things. And it followed for about a week, which is how I know. And I did look, I always look up to see what the totem means. Earlier in the evening, I usually go to bed at 8, but I get up around 3:30 every day. So everybody out there listening, don't judge. I don't wake up at 12 and stay up for 6 hours. I get up really early. And I go to bed usually really early compared to most people. But it was earlier in the night around, I'd say, this is right before the clock moved, so maybe, you know, I don't even know, maybe 6 o'clock at night, but it's just sun was going down. And we have hummingbirds. That's not out of the ordinary. There's you know, children, millions of them sometimes. But baby red ones, I had to even Google to see if red ones were something that were endemic to here, but came up right in front of my face and said hello, as I would say. And I knew that was a totem. And the hummingbirds are really, really positive totem. And stayed and hovered for a good this isn't hyperbole, maybe 2 minutes. I mean, it was long. It was a while.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, okay, I'm listening. And it was a weird time of night for, like I said, it was getting dark out. So it was weird for him to be flying around. But about 3 hours later, I was actually researching. I just finished my second book, The Manuscript for it, that'll be coming out hopefully next year. Delved into some more of these topics that are out there and paranormal, but I don't think they're going to feel out there anymore after this.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't get spooked at all. I mean, it's rare, but I'm not ashamed to say that I was researching and writing some stuff, and I have a little outdoor area that I take my laptop out into my backyard and just write. I have a big backyard, I should add, that's wooded, and it's completely surrounded on all three sides.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see the neighbors, and it's almost like a little woods, if you will. But the noise was so loud and clear, and I didn't have the outdoor light on. I was just walking out, didn't have the backyard light on yet. And it was clearly CC for me, and it was giant, and made this noise, and I didn't know what it was. It was an animal. And I you know, we have mountain lions and coyotes. I knew it wasn't that. It had wings. But I ran inside, and I went to my fiance, and I was like, I need to find this noise right now. I think it was an owl. So I actually went on YouTube, and I started searching for owl sounds, and I finally found the exact type of owl, which I'm sorry to say, this exact moment, I don't remember off the top of my head. I do have it written down, though.
Yeah.
But I found it pretty quickly, and I went back outside to do some writing, and it was actually talking about what we're going through right now, and with lockdown. And it was coming. It hadn't started yet, but I knew it was coming. And it was just kind of this weird feeling that was in the air. And this owl was just talking to me all night. And it wasn't a territorial. I was able to listen to all the different types of noises.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a mating call. It was right up in the tree, maybe not even honestly 15 feet from me, very close. So he's still around. The owl and that hummingbird almost. I mean, the hummingbird comes and goes, but I'd say in the last, however many weeks it's been now, the owl has been ever present. Now, what's interesting is there's a lot of mythology and totem and animal medicine, you know, and you can read a lot about owls.
Yeah.
And I'm still figuring out what the meaning is, because I usually was, you know, I've had so many, you know, I grew up in a, you know, this is chapter one of the book, basically, is, you know, I grew up in a really weird family, you know, where they grew up teaching me about all sorts of odd and interesting and unique things, and they I was raised on new thought with my friends in school and elementary school, were going to synagogue or Hebrew school or Catholic school or whatever. I was, you know, on Sundays with my grandma and my mom learning about you know, new thought and creating your own reality and all sorts of weird and cool and wonderful things like this. But I do know that when the owl keeps coming back, and it feels very comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Not scary to me, but I'm curious now as to what your intuition says, because it's been such it's like a relief every time I see him or her, and mm-hmm. The energy almost feels female, but I don't know that it is, but it's just, it's a very calm energy, but it's been basically since coronavirus hit the U.S. and now since lockdown, that she comes and finds me, or he comes and finds me, and then this owl makes the most beautiful noises every night.
Yeah.
And I don't stay up very late, so that was one night I was asleep, but earlier and earlier I'll hear him or her outside, you know, our window or right in the back, you know, our kitchen's right off from the backyard, so we hear it a lot if I get up for some water all the night. So it's I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening, and maybe hopefully will help maybe make them realize that they're also getting some messages. And you can Google easily animal medicine at totem. I usually just Google owl totem or owl, well, you know, whatever the animal is to find the message. But there's so many messages with owls. But this one feels very comforting. So for you and for Ifeba, I'm sure you might have some more insight, because owls are connected to a lot of things in the paranormal world too, right?
Yeah. Well, and for one thing, they're also ET. The people who have the ET experiences, the alien abduction, those kind of
right,
things.
Right. That's one of the big.
That's a huge
right?
Yeah, that's a huge symbol. I think Mike, is it McClelland? Mike, he writes about the stories, the owl messengers and all that. I don't have it in at the top of my mind right now. But for me, I also go with it as a totem animal. And so it doesn't mean
that's what it feels like.
Yes.
To me,
personally. Each person has to do this. And what it would for me, it is an identity for a symbol that you associate with what is the meaning of owl. And for me, you're getting answers and things in the dream plane because the owl is an in-between. And so also in your dream plane and in your daydream, night dream, you're having at this point a huge reset connect with the next phase, the next steps on your path. And that's part of what this is about, because it's like a very core. It's the symbol here is that connection of seeing between night and day. So between the sheets of time, between your tuning in and receptive.
Yeah.
And so that's where it to me is that symbol relates that the receptivity that you have of going within and then paying attention to that intuition and, you know, being that, they would call it a hollow bone of channel for information that would be helpful right now for people to hear, to get people through a time that's very chaotic, where there's a lot of upheaval and uncertainty, and going back to center and saying, we were born for this. And this is what we do. And we come forward and come out of the closet with our real gifts while we were practicing before everything stopped. And we were practicing doing what might be helpful for right now. So I'm putting a whole lot of words to that. But you also have the ability within you to understand, as you're saying, it feels comforting. It's a support. It's a reminder. It's a refresh of, hey, you got this. And obviously you do.
Wow. That I hope so. And I just say, I want so badly, and I feel so strongly that, you know, we all have something to contribute, and what you just said is incredible, by the way. Thank you. I totally flipped this around accidentally and started interviewing you my outfit. But no, that just, I guess I have tears in my eyes, seriously, in a good one.
Okay.
Because that resonated. I hope that I, what I teach and, you know, what I do for, you know, with my writing and everything else, does help people. And like you just said it perfectly. I feel like I've been practicing my whole life a bunch of different things that, you know, could hopefully maybe would work. And you know, I don't think we're all in this together, like I said, no one alone could do it, but whoever, you know, I can help if it's two people or 20, you know, that's amazing. You just triggered something really interesting. Because the hummingbird to me is also very joyful, and
yes.
It's a red hummingbird.
Yes.
And that it's day and night, you know, and something that I was resisting for so long doing, you know, for those listening out there, you know, I come from an acting background. That's what I did professionally for most of my childhood and all of my teenage years and some of my adult years even. And I transitioned into directing and then writing over the last decade. And this is what I love to do more than anything is teach stuff like this. But I had been resisting kind of putting all those skills together and doing a very unique and fun show online for free, mm-hmm. free for everybody. It's a YouTube show. But one thing that we're going to do that's really cool is anybody out there who has a you know, Google makes them. They're $5. You can get them at Walmart. Even in the lockdown, they have them. But the VR headsets, not the really expensive ones. You can get the little cheap ones, and you don't even need one. Because if you have a smartphone or even a laptop or any sort of device, you can still use and experience how cool this show is going to be. But it's going to be, we just ordered it. It'll be, the studio's already set up. I was resisting it for a long time, but at the point of this, I'm going to make it 1 minute. But it's going to be in 360. So you'll actually, I wanted people to be able to feel like when they're in lockdown that they could still be part of an audience or be part of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So the camera is 360. So you can either wear a headset or you could do it on your phone.
Yay.
And you can scroll around as I walk around, and I'm going to have guests and on video and, you know, teach all sorts of things, but it's going to be great because it's in the round. So it's going to be a lot. People are going to get sick real quickly, I think, of just watching straight videos, you know, just watching something. This is going to allow them to not escape, because that's normally what it might be, but just to actually maybe lock in and connect.
It's engaging. Yeah, it's engaging.
Yeah, and connect. And, you know, I'm just going to be teaching and talking about all this stuff, everything we've talked about here and more. But I was resisting doing a show for
honestly, 2 or 3 years. I resisted doing the book, you know, because it was fighting my instincts until I finally aligned and just listened to, you know, I call them my guides, my angels. You know, everybody has something, you know, their gut. And I knew that it was time. And then this all happened. And, you know, I had a book tour planned and scheduled all around the world. I was going to Australia and on May 1st, it comes out there. And then in middle May in Europe. And I was really excited. But when this happened, I wasn't sad. I wasn't bummed out. I was excited for the fact that I could just, for all the video press interviews over the next month or two, I could wear something nice, you know, at the top and then wear my sweatpants because no one will see. But,
yes.
You know, I wanted everybody, I had all these calls from, I remember Dina, Dr. Dina, we talked about earlier. She, you know, we talked at the time, but she called and she's the sweetest thing. She was so concerned that I would be devastated, you know, a few weeks ago when the publisher finally said, look, we're going to postpone everything and we're going to have to do everything from your home. And I said, that's fine. Let's roll with it. This is all for a reason. So I'm excited too, even with the workshops and the classes. There's one I was supposed to teach at East West Bookstore in Mountain View, which is the biggest metaphysical bookstore in the country, if not the world, on Saturday. And if you go on my Facebook, you can get tickets now. Anybody in the world's going to come to this, you know, interactive. But I'm not plugging that. My point here is the owl, you know, all these ideas and how to do this, really, I think it's going to be a fun show for people. And it's not going to be super high or expensive. We're on lockdown. I had to makeshift the studio with what I had. Luckily, I did have some film equipment from my prior days as an actor and a filmmaker, but I got all those ideas that night. And when it was weird, I would hear the owl and I was just sort of, that's when this kept coming to me, that I was resisting. And finally, honestly, yesterday, officially made the decision to do this. So by the time your listeners hear this, it'll probably have just been starting, probably right around the next week or two. It'll be out there for people. And I want something that people can feel and, you know, and learn from, and that's free. You know, a lot of people are in a unique position right now with work and don't have a job. And I don't want people to have to pay for everything. I mean, that's the thing about my book, you know, Accepting the Life You Want. I'm not one of those authors who, you know, teachers who's like, oh, buy my book and then I'll tell you, you know. Just, I write articles all the time. I give my information away. My feeling is, if, you know, there's so much out there for free, and especially now with lockdown, like I don't care. I put it all out there. It's about hopefully helping people for me. And I look at it like this, you know, I give so much away for free. I don't mind. I love it because I love seeing people manifest what they want, and I love seeing people feel better, have fun, and see how easy it could be. And if they like it, they can thank me by buying a book. You know, it's kind of the inverse of the normal way, but I feel like the owl is directly connected to this really fun web video TV show that we're just about to start, because I finally just let go and said, all right, I guess, you know. And I think a lot of people, I say this not to toot or talk about myself endlessly. I say it because I bet you there's someone out there listening, if not a few people, but there's someone out there who, whether they have an owl and a hummingbird or whatever animal totem or not, maybe this is part of this reset we're going through, is just relax into it. And it's a message to do that thing that you finally, or maybe are close to wanting to do, that you've been thinking about, maybe resisting, like I was resisting the show and even writing for years. Yeah. We all have no excuses. There's nowhere to go. And that's not a negative, because it's happening everywhere. You know, you can't, the universe or whatever you want to call it has sort of given us, like you said, a reset. It's also a pause to evaluate. And I hate the word pause. There's not really a good word for it, but I think you know what I mean, Wendy. It's like a timeless space right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sphere where we can choose it's like a choose your own adventure novel, but we're so fortunate to have time, because there's no excuses not to do what we've been guided to do. And so many of us, whether you consider yourself intuitive or whether you think, you know, Wendy and I sound brilliant or crazy, it doesn't matter, because whoever you are, wherever you are, you have this deep, deep core, fun, flowing mission and thing that you want to do, and you've probably been hearing and feeling that you've wanted to try out or do your whole life. And I bet you you can do it wherever you are out there listening, because even under lockdown, because we with all the abilities and things that we have right now at our disposal, we can be outside of the box and creative. And, you know, my mom, who actually is co-writing the third book with me right now, she said something really interesting, which is, well, two things. She said, one, if this had happened 10 years ago, you know, we're so lucky it happened when it did, because the tech wasn't even there, the technology of communication and video and smartphones, it was there, but not like it wasn't as accessible and everybody didn't have it like they do now. So we're lucky because we all can really, really do interesting things. And the other thing she said is that this is going to change everything. It's going to make every company reevaluate. Maybe companies that were against work from home, this forces them to see that people who want to work from home can thrive working from home. This is going to change the way businesses do business, the way we, you know, see entertainment. I mean, off mic, we talked about, you know, obviously I still have many friends in Hollywood, and, you know, we're not going to have new movies. We're not, most of our favorite TV shows, if you like TV or even Netflix, anything scripted, a lot of them had to stop. I have friends work on some really big shows, one on NBC. They shot everything up until their season finale. So there's other shows that are 5 episodes away. We're going to have a period of a year, probably. We're not getting a lot of new TV that's scripted, at least, or filmed. So there's this, everything is going to shift of how we view things, how we consume things, but also how we contribute and how we make decisions about ourselves and the world around us. So I feel so strongly that there's a word, and I also put off mic to Wendy for those that are listening. Really, maybe the next book after the second and third one I'll write is we got to figure out new language, because there's a quote by Walter Russell, who wrote a book called The Universal One back in the early 1910s, and he basically says that language is the key, because we have so many things we can't describe that if we only had words, it would make it so accessible to everybody. We have these phenomenal and incredible things. I'm paraphrasing I hope Walter Russell's spirit doesn't hear me, but I like to say that things that aren't named are the easiest to hide by those whose names are biggest, or, you know, things with no word or name to describe them are the most dangerous and the most powerful, because if we know their use and their function, then they can be the most incredible things, but we need the words to describe it. So whatever this is in this reset, I love that word. That word's right. But also, it's timeless. There's a quality of, and we've all had that, you know, maybe if you're home from work, or, you know, you're on a break for a holiday or whatever, where you feel like, oh, what day is it? I don't even know. I've been on a holiday vacation, and, you know, but we're all in this very timeless space. And I think there's a power in that, because we are being encouraged to go for goals. I think people, you know, one of the things I accidentally did in the book, like you said, I don't know if it was an accident, but I encourage people to think outside the box and just really go for not just the big things, but for the seemingly mundane or smaller things that you want in life. And everybody has an opportunity, and there's no excuse not to do it. We all have this crazy, amazing opportunity. And I think reframing how we perceive this and look at it might just be a key to getting out of it. So to answer your original question, I thought I answered it earlier, but I do think in a way we can all script our way out of it by the way we perceive the world around us. And that's not anything hard to do. You don't have to read my book to do it. You just have to make a decision now to really have fun, take a minute, and have fun doing this, because fun and play is so important. And it's easy. All this is easy when you have fun, but take a minute and find, or just remember what it is that you want to do, and start thinking outside the box of how to do it. And that could be really simple, like just laying around, or maybe you just need to meditate or relax or watch TV, because maybe you haven't done that in years. Or maybe it's something bigger. Wendy, I think you need to write a book, another book. I'm telling you right now, I said it off mic. I'm saying it to everybody, like, whatever it is, for anybody, though, really, you know. And take this sort of timeless space. It's the time to do the directional adjustment in our lives. And, you know, we can use a lot of tools like scripting. And there's tons of things out there that we already have at our disposal that we're now becoming aware of that we can use to make the best of this. And I advise everybody, obviously, please follow the CDC guidelines, follow the World Health guidelines. You know, I'm not saying don't be safe. You know, say what your local officials and everybody else, we need to listen, because we're this isn't a, I can't go outside, I can't do anything, I'm not sick, I'm fine. Well, think of it like this. We're actually thinking it positively. Like, I'm helping, I'm being kind to somebody else by saying it. I'm helping somebody who might not be in the same position as me, or it might be trickier for them health-wise. And I think that you'll feel better about that. Everybody will. But also, you know, follow those guidelines. But when you're home, it's time to evaluate and have fun and just go for it. Think outside the box and just meet you finally, even if it's by yourself. Get out your phone notes or your little notepad or whatever it is, and just write down one thing that you've been wanting to do your whole life, and find a way to do it in this wild, cool, and endlessly open environment that we're in. It's time. And yeah. I think that's what this is all about.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. The book is out now, available anywhere you can buy books. If there's something you want to add, you connect with Royce, because obviously he's in the work mode now, and he's going to go full speed ahead with book number 2, 3, and 4, did I hear?
Yeah. 2 is already done.
So, okay.
3 is halfway there. So yeah, please connect with me. I'm really easy to get a hold of. I'm on Twitter, Facebook. I love Twitter. I use it a lot, but I do read my own emails. So if you contact me through the website, it does get sent to me. Give me a few days, but I usually I try to get back to everybody. So if anybody out there wants to say hi, or you're bored, or you want to just chat, shoot me an email. Contact me through the site, and I'm always there. And my book is Scripting the Life You Want. And yes, it's available everywhere.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. And I'm looking forward to book number 2.
Thank you. So am I. I'm really excited about it.